Morning, everyone. How are you? Good, good. It seems like a whole lot of people went to Korichas. Coming back or on their way back. I would like to hear from them what happened. I want to share this morning on being without fear. In other words, fearless. And later on I'll tell you how I got onto this sermon, because it is something that happened to me. Well, we should always preach about what we're going through or what God is doing in our lives. It's easy to nowadays. You can Google sermons. I can download a sermon. I can come and preach somebody else's sermon. But that won't be as effective if it's actually my story. Yes. Amen. Because God works. God is alive. And He works in our lives. Amen. Fear. So, you must already start thinking, being honest with yourself, what are your fears? Okay. So, it can be small little things. For some people, it's not small. Fear of flying. Fear of what else? Fear of spiders, etc. But more towards the fear of the deeper things in life, the more emotional things, the things that God actually wants to get rid of. I don't think God has such a problem if we have fear of spiders. I don't have fear of spiders. I mean, those big ones I do. But these small little things in Swakop, I'm fine with. We went to Mark the Vet on a camp there at close to Etosha, and I figured out he's quite afraid of little chuchas. Like, I couldn't believe it. Chuchas, you know, like just little moths and krieke and sikkegoed. Well, I'm okay with that, but anything reptile, like snakes and geckos, I freak out. So anyway, think of your fears. We're going to talk about them today. If you look at fear and you search for the first instance of fear in the Bible, you get it here. Genesis 3 verse 10. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So this, as you will all probably know, this scripture is just after mankind, Adam and Eve, committed the first sin. Before that, they walked in great harmony with God. They had amazing relationship with God. They were naked, but they didn't know it. You know, and then they sinned, and then this happens. God says, where are you? And they say, sorry, we heard you coming. We were afraid. So we tried to hide. So my theory is that, I don't know if there was fear before that, but definitely the first mention of fear is when sin came in. When the first sin was committed, fear came in. Okay, well, before I don't go to the next slide, now I'm going to ask you some of your fears. You must tell me, what fears do you have? It can be trivial ones. We wouldn't like to know. Yes. Failure. What else? Confrontations. You're like my wife, Carol. I'm Mr. Confrontation. That's good. That's very good. But now she's married me and I'm confrontational. Any other fears? Who's got fears for flying? Nobody. I also don't have that. Fears of the dark. Spiders. Anybody spiders? What else? But some bigger things like failure. What else? Public speaking. Yeah, that's... I looked on the internet. We can go to the next slide. These are some of the common ones. But public speaking... Well, it's not odd. I was extremely afraid to speak at my sister's wedding. That's the place where I first spoke. Well, not the first time. I actually remember I had to recite a poem in school when I was probably 10 or 12. So the whole assembly, and I started with my poem. It was one of these other poem where you played block flute, or I didn't play block flute. I don't know what a block flute is in English. Huh? Recorder. So I had to recite a poem. And I got stuck in the middle of the poem. And the whole assembly was looking at me. And then the principal said, it's okay, you can start again. Then I started again and I got stuck at the same place. And then he said, you can go now. Maybe that's where my fear started. Okay, some fears. Flying, public speaking. The only way I overcame public speaking is to speak in public quite a lot. Does it make sense? Some of the fears only go away with, I don't know, exercise. Heights, I don't have that. The dark, I used to have that a lot when I was young. Now I don't have it. Or if I have it, I'm lying. No, I don't have it. But a grown-up man shouldn't say he's afraid of the dark. But I'm not. Intimacy, these are the more deeper things. Death, failure, rejection. I think a lot of Christians struggle with rejection, and that's one of the first things I had to work through. It means you're afraid that people will push you aside. Spiders, commitment. Commitment in relationships. That's why we as Christians, it's not the only reason why, but marriage is for life. So a lot of bachelors struggle to make that commitment. But some poor bachelors just don't get a wife. So we need to pray for them. Are there any here like that? But some, you'll get many times, and that's where these Hollywood things, let me not go to Hollywood again, but these relationships, it's just, there's no commitment because when I don't feel like it, I can go. God, it doesn't work that way. Losing freedom, fear of the unknown, fear of pain or sickness, disappointment, misery, loneliness, ridicule, judgment. These are some of the common ones. With how many do we struggle there? You must tell yourself. I struggle with quite a few of them every now and then. And you would see many times people are very driven, very successful people. And if you dig a little bit deeper, not always, it doesn't have to be that way, but some people are driven by a fear fear. Some people are driven by the wrong things. Some people are motivated by the wrong things. Some people are motivated to achieve financially, but it's actually because of a fear of failure. God does not want us to live with fear. But this is where I get to. Fear. Do yourself a favor. Look it up in the Bible. Fear, the way people of God and where leaders of God had to confront and deal with fear from Genesis throughout. And especially in those books, Moses, Joshua, etc., God needs to speak to those leaders and to the people through those leaders. And he says, okay, I know you want to fear now. I know it's a kind of a scary thing to do, but deal with it. Let me help you deal with it. So, throughout Scripture, fear is there. And fear in our lives will be there. Or the opportunity to succumb to that fear is always there. We're not going to have a life without obstacles, etc. Are you with me? Will you experience some fears every now and then? You must all say yes. The fears, like I said, sometimes just become bigger in magnitude. You speak to a guy like Reinhard Bonnke, and they don't succumb to the fear, but the challenges, the obstacles get bigger. They don't disappear. And Bible also says that the rain falls on the good and the bad. I think what it means is that sometimes as Christians, we would all like to have a hunky-dory life without pain and stuff happening. But I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but I've experienced all of that stuff that the world experiences while I was a Christian. But God wants us to deal with those things in a different way than the world. Okay, let me read Exodus 14:13. So my heading there is, we need a continued deliverance. God's people in the Word, Old Testament, had to be continually be delivered from fears. New ones, old ones, same ones. Exodus 14:13. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. Today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Joshua 8 verse 1. So many times in the first 3 or 4 chapters of Joshua, God says, Be courageous and do not fear. I know it says courageous. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And I can go on and on. Fear reappears. We constantly need to be delivered from fear. And we can decide, and hopefully I will give you some pointers today, how long we want to deal with this fear. How much energy does this fear take up in your life? It's one thing for it to be on your doorstep, but how long do you talk to this thing? How long do you deal with this? How much days of your life does it take? It should not be that much. Okay, I just firstly want to deal with, and I'm not talking about that today, but the fear of God. Because we're talking about human fears that we have. That's the one that God doesn't want us to have, but we should have the fear of God. Now, this sermon is not about it, but I just want to mention some things about it. Exodus 14, verse 31. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, do not fear. And here in this scripture, it speaks of both fears. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. Okay, let me just... It's a good thing to be afraid of sin, actually. That's part of the fear of God. I did a lot of things wrong when I was a teenager, but there were some things I did not do because of fear of God that my father and mother instilled in me. See, that you don't do. And I didn't do it. I had every opportunity to do it, but I didn't do it because I was afraid. It's good to be afraid of God. That's not wrong. That's not right. Sorry. It's good to have the fear of God, not to be afraid of Him. It's good to have the fear of God. And this scripture here says, do not be afraid, it's this side, the bad fears, the ones I don't want you to have, but fear me. Amen. What does the fear of God bring? But I don't want to focus on that today, so I'm ending here with this fear. The fear of God actually protects us. Let me just drop it here. There's this one pastor that, I think it's a pastor, the same one that we, on the leaders meeting on Monday, he spoke. I can't remember his name. What's his name? Does anybody know? That's that clip that Yaku showed us. Anyway, God showed him once that the sin in his life opens doors in his life and then it hurts his family. Are you with me? So if you and I walk in sin, if you're married, you've got children, you've got more responsibility. Because if I open a certain door in my life, the devil doesn't care if it was my daughter or my wife that opened the door. It's a way in and he comes in and he destroys. So I cannot do this. Because not only me get hurt. Are you with me? Why did I say that? Okay, but the fear of God. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. If we, and that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes and we don't sin. If we sin, because we do it constantly, but we've got a humble heart and it wasn't our intention to sin. Now, okay, this sounds very shaky. But we don't walk and then we say, because of grace we sin. Then this does not apply to us. Then the fear of Lord does. God doesn't encamp us, doesn't surround us, doesn't protect us, but we will sin. And if we can then come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that that happened. Scripture also says that love covers a multitude of sins. But that's not when we miss or when we abuse the grace of God. But you and I can walk with this assurance that if we fear God, if we put Him first in our lives, in our families, He protects us. He delivers us. I believe there are certain things that's not going to happen to me. Okay, now maybe I'm contradicting myself. But purely because I fear the Lord. Amen. Let's go on. Now let's get back to the fear of the ungodly fear, the fear of things, the fear of failure, that stuff. I want to state it that it is inevitable that you will have to deal with fear. We do, as our children, the people we work with, if they come to Christ and we say, everything is fine now, just pray this little prayer with me, we do them a disfavor. We shouldn't tell them all hell is going to break loose now, if I can say that. But stuff is still going to go wrong. It is inevitable that we go through pain. It is inevitable that we experience some fears in our lives. Psalm 23 verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I like the way that, I don't know who put it that way, but this scripture doesn't say we went around the valley of shadow of death, but you went through it. Sometimes we will go through some things, but even though we go through it, God says we should not fear. Now let me tell you about my little story, where this whole sermon started. In December they operated me, they removed my appendix. You know that thing that nobody knows why we have it. I'm sure we should have it. I just don't know why. Because it gives us trouble. So they had to take out my appendix. You know what that is? Blindarm. So now the two or three days afterwards, we go with Mark and Steph, we go to Itosha. But now the doctor tells you, this is a good doctor, he tells me, okay, don't move too much, and then if you start feeling, getting fever, and you start throwing up, then get to a doctor immediately. Now I'm like driving like this, you know, I get out like the car like an old man, and I didn't tell anybody, because I didn't want to spoil their holiday, but for the first day, I was just afraid, constantly afraid. Afraid, 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 afraid. This thing's going to burst open. I'm going to die. Now you might laugh, but I experienced fear like I have before. But this was a fear, man. It gripped all my energy. I had to fake it. And I had to pray. I had to say, God, what? I really had to deal with it. It's probably small, but it wasn't so small for me. It was big. And I think this is where God helped me a little bit. And okay, now there's another. I've been bombarded with some fears and uncertainties the last while. We're building a house, and God knows that's not easy, man. So that several evenings that I'm on my knees, I can't sleep because I'm thinking of this and the budget and the whatever. And then I just have to pray and say, Lord, I want to sleep. Take it away. And then He takes it away. Amen. We will encounter fear. But how do we deal with it? How much time does it take? I'm going to ask you at the end of the sermon. Because we're not... There's a bigger plan here. Jan Kor asked it, Jaco asked it the other day. If God asks us now, what was the question? Can you do my will? Can you say yes to my will for your life? Can you say yes? You know what we say? First is like, okay, but what? Yes to what? What does this yes now mean? We always want to have details. We need to know. Does it mean pack up and go? Does it mean a missionary in Angola? Does it mean full-time ministry? What does it mean? First tell me, then I'll say yes or no. But that's not the point. Can we say yes? We can't always, because of fear. And God wants us to get over that. For the plans that He has for us is to prosper, to give us a hope and a future. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. There's a whole lot in this scripture. Firstly, God does not say that you are stupid if you worry about what you must eat and what you must put on your body. Because he says, I know you need them. I know you need them. But verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek after all these things. And what God is trying, the first scripture there, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. God is showing us that we can stay at that level where life is about worrying about those things. Or he's got something else for us here. And where he says, I know you need them. Wives, it's fine if you worry about the food. It's fine if you worry about where the next paycheck is going to come from. But how much energy do you spend there? Because I know you need them. Isn't life more than that? Isn't life something else? The life that I want you to have. The fulfillment I want you to have in life. It's more than that. There's another scripture that calls it the upward call in Christ. God calls us all. We've got all got a calling. I don't like it when some people say, that guy's got a calling on his life. We all have. Because people connect calling with, you must be a pastor. We all have callings. You were created and saved for a specific reason. Not to survive, but to flourish. Jeremiah 29:11. The plans that he has for us. But we are so afraid sometimes to embark on this unknown because we don't have all the answers. The point I want to make is God isn't a God that says you shouldn't worry about those things. He says, no, I know you need them. But it's all got to do with how much we know him, how much we know what kind of a father he is. Anyway, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay, now there's a lot that one can say here. I've been recently been in situations which didn't happen to me. I was at somebody's funeral in December. Family member got killed in a farm. Now, God says he doesn't leave us nor forsake us. So what in that case? It's easy to then, if we don't know the heart of God, that when you prayed for somebody that you wanted to get healed and they didn't get healed, for us to say, but he's forsaken us. Again, God says there is another level in which we can operate. And I believe that we must always pray for people to get healed and so on, but we must actually grow to a Christian maturity that is beyond that. That even if those things happen to us, even if, like one of the apostles, like 12 apostles, only one wasn't martyred, they still praised God because they had the forsaking, I will not forsake you, that the scripture speaks of, is not only the physical. Sometimes the physical things fail. And God even allows them to fail. But spiritually, the peace and the that I can experience, the love of God that I can experience, should overrule all those things. Even if somebody passes away, I should still have it. And we should fight for it. You must struggle with God. Fight with him that stays with you. Because nowhere in Scripture can I read where God says, I will remove my peace from you. It does. It happens everywhere that people do get sick, etc. These fears. But God says, I've got a way to overrule that and you can still be prosperous. I don't know if I'm making sense. Wait, I don't have to live in this fear. Are you with me? And I'm not wishing on anybody, you know, pain and suffering. That is also not God's heart. But sometimes some of those things happen to us. And we can still walk in peace. We can still walk in God's. Freedom in those moments. Matthew 10:28. Okay, let me just read the first scripture again. Not this. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Next scripture, Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of whom who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is so true in my life. You know, when you go through this, oh, my appendix is going to burst, whatever, then you just get to a place, you know, even if the devil, even if I die now, that's actually all that happens. Because my soul is still going to heaven. Are you with me? That's the only thing we should be afraid of. Has that question been answered in your life? I remember, and I need to tell it, it's a part of my testimony, where I grew up Christian home, etc. But my parents were real Christians, they were not. But where I had the fear of dying because I thought I'm going to go to hell. I would wake up at night and then if I hear a loud noise or something, I would think it's God's coming back and then I'm afraid. And then I go to my dad and say, Dad, ek is bang, ek gaan die hel toe. And then my dad, I remember the one night, he prayed for me. That thing didn't go away until I really got saved and worked through it. But I do not have that fear. That one thing that we should be afraid of is, where does this body go to? Where does it go to? Because 90 years, if I'm that lucky, it's very short in terms of eternity. The only thing we should really fear, and we should serve God in that way, is He cannot do anything to us. It is finished. I can have presence of God in my house. I can have an intimate relationship with Christ. Doesn't matter what happens around me. I wanted to say something else. I forgot again. Last few scriptures. Matthew 25:25. Yes. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. The other fear that I have, and it's not a nice one to have, is that I will stand one day, and God says, I don't know how to put it, I want to stand there, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be like this man, ach, Here, help us not, that said, Lord, You gave this to me, but Lord, I was so afraid I couldn't take that step of faith. And here is some of it back. That's a life of fear. That's a life of... That's not the life we're called to. The life we're called to is where we throw our lives into it. We're not afraid. We're doing it because we know the love of the Father. We know that every plan that He has for us is in any case the best, if we understand it or not. And we just run with it. We're not there. And I don't think we'll always have that shortcoming in us. We must just be humble enough to constantly say, Lord, let me humble myself. Let me just yield to Your Holy Spirit. Lord, just take away all these worries of life and money and food. Let me hear Your voice again. What are You saying? And when you can say, Lord, we must go there. Then we say, yeah, we're going. And then we figure out the details afterwards. Lord, help us. Set us free from this fear. Just a practical example. You know, when I started working in Windhoek, I started with my buddy, mountain biking. That getting fit, exercising, doing a race, you know, I never won a race. That's fine. But just to do that race and afterwards you finish it. You know how you feel? You feel so good. They call it endorphins, I think. That exercising, yes, I've accomplished something. That's amazing. That is how God wants us to live in His kingdom. Will we fail? Yes. There's a guy, I think he's a Christian, that says most successful millionaires, billionaires fail 17 times before they do something decent and proper. We're afraid of failure. Why? So what if we fail? We are afraid of what people will think of us if we fail. Fear of man. We must just die. But that exercise, you're doing that thing, you're achieving something. That is how a Christian walk should be. It's like, yeah, we did something. But we're afraid. I'm afraid. Matthew 8:26. And he said to them, why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm. Amen. Can we stand? I'll read the last scripture. Can we stand? We're almost finished. Now here comes the curveball. If you and I experience fear and it rules our lives, then the perfect love of Christ has not come to our lives. Well, that is what Scripture says. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Let's read that again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Let me give you an example. Our God is not a God that says, I've got the blueprint for your life. Here it is. This is what you must do. This is what you must accomplish. Go and do it. Why are you not doing it? And then we're like, ah, we missed it again. We didn't do that. We didn't. Also, did it right gekry nie. That is motivation. That is the wrong motivation. This fear thing. God says that if you experience my love, it casts out all that fear. We've got sometimes a bad connotation with God's plan for our lives. It should be something that we're so excited about. And if we're not excited about it, it is because we're not. We have to go back to God. What's your heart? Who are you? Do you love me? Because it says, my love, my perfect love, will cast out that fear. And then you will run. And then you will say yes. At every moment when God speaks to us, we will say yes. If we understand His perfect love, we cannot have fear because it pushes it out. Because if whether or not we understand it, in the moment, it might not make a whole lot of sense if God has, you know, whatever plan for you. But if we know Him, we're like, but His plan must be the best for me. It must be. So let's just do it. Why do we want to miss out? Are you with me? I want the perfect love of God to cast out all fear in my life. I want to run the race without wavering. I want to get rid of all the worldly fears and anxieties I have. I have some of them. I don't want to have them. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray in